Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. Yes, indeed. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for showing up. And we're preparing to go deep in consciousness, to remember who we are, to experience real love so that we may awaken to the truth of who we are, and then attract, if that's what you want, a divine, the perfect reflection. But it's so important to know who you are, or else you may attract somebody who don't understand. And then you're asking, why? Carly Jackson.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Free to create, free to love, free to be. Free to be with all that I'm feeling and going through and growing through. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And the theme for today is Real Love, the Awakening of Divine Partner. John and Kathy will be joining us soon to share their story, how they woke up the divine partnership or the divine partner, or the divine one within themselves. But this is their story, and you must remember that you are the revival of a love story. We'll be back.
Your soul alone, a ship that's lost at sea. When he walked out on me, I didn't have a plan B. Where do I go to now? How could I let this be? No one here to love, and no one to love me. This hollow aching in my soul. Help me, Lord, before I fall. I heard a whisper deep inside my
the good news and sometimes the challenging news. The revival of a love story is me. The revival of a love story is you.
Hello, Life Coach. Today, this is Celeste jumping in. Let you know we can't hear you, my friend.
That's welcome why you can't hear me. Thank you for jumping in. Thank
my
you,
pleasure.
Thank
here
you.
We go.
Appreciate you.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Okay, so let's start that again. Ah, oh, that was Sherry Marie. Wasn't that beautiful? I was saying to myself, but you didn't really get to hear it because it is what it is. But, you know, the good news is that you are the revival of the love story. Yeah, I'm going to revive some love right now. The perfectionist in me is having a fit. It's like, I need somebody right here in my office. How did that happen? But there's another part of me saying it's okay. All is well. Nobody's tripping but you. Okay, I'm going to listen to that voice. All right, so the revival of a love story is you, is me. And that can be the good news or it can be the challenging news, depending on where you are. Because sometimes we rather have somebody else be or we want somebody else to revive the love story within us. But the truth is, we must know what love is for us to fully, really grasp it, understand it. And yes, there is space, there is room for others to support us on that journey. I'm the one that truly believes that, you know, that there is the, you know, spiritual truth. Well, spiritual, intellectual truth. Or intellectual, spiritual truth, yes. Can, it's funny sometimes because people say, well, if you don't love yourself, nobody can love you. True. But I also believe that you can attract somebody into your world that can support you in going to the deepest, darkest part of your being so that you may know yourself differently. Now, if you're committed to healing, you could possibly bring yourself out and then keep the person around. And I'm actually talking about romantic relationships here. But you may still be committed to the healing and keep telling yourself they deserve better than you, so they end up leaving. But the truth is, it doesn't matter if they left or if they stayed. What is important is that you found yourself. And that's what today's conversation is about. Today's conversation, before I go into it, let me stop, let me pause to find out more about Sherry Marie. Oh, gosh, it's a moon day. I want to shine some light on my moon day. Shine, shine, shine. The sun is radiating on me right now. Here we go. Yes, to find out more about Sherry Marie, her website address is sherrymarie.com. That's sherrymarie.com, C-H-E-R-I-M-A-R-E-E.com. Revival of a love story. So let's start from the beginning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired, and you can help but make a difference when you take the step, when you take action towards your spiritual growth and transformation. So thank you for tuning in to the House of Love. We are here to support you on your transformation journey. Today's theme, let it go, man. Let it go. I have to speak that out. Today's theme is real love, the awakening of divine partnership. And we have two beautiful souls that are going to be joining us soon, Kathy and John Stringer. They've been here several times. This is a Halloween Well, I don't know why I keep saying Halloween. I was talking to Celeste about the show yesterday, and I said Halloween. I guess Valentine's Day is like Halloween for some people. They don't know if they're going to get tricked or treated. But some people are so clear they're going to get tricked, and they're scared. No, this is, you know, Halloween. Halloween. Halloween can go away. Let's talk about Valentine's Day. And we want to activate the lover in you. I hear a song, but I won't sing it. What I'm going to do to rescue myself is let you know that you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and I am your host. The I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach at a, and we're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Okay, let me just go to Celeste, because I'm trying to bring myself back to center, but it's okay. It's okay. Hey, Celeste.
Hey, you. Sometimes left of center is great, too.
You said what?
Sometimes left of center is just fine, too.
Yeah, you know, I would be quick to tell you that, but sometimes it's hard to bring myself to be at peace when I'm at the left of the center. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just been mm-hmm. that kind of day anyway. I understand the planets are doing what the planets do, and we are all part of all that is happening. I'm just being taught how to be patient and
yes.
just as important, how to be loving when I'm mm-hmm. on the left of the center.
Gotcha. Mm. Mercury retrograde will definitely help you with that, so embrace it all. Congratulations. You passed your first test, my friend. How was your weekend, Life Coach, today? Were you good to you today or this weekend?
You know, my days just blend together, but for the most part, I had some quiet moment. It was sort of emotionally intense during the weekend. I don't know if it was the planet, but it's the planet and what I was moving through. So I decided to get still and listen to me, because I realized trying to talk and trying to just wasn't doing it. I had to dance with my emotions. They were like, we got you now. What you going to do, Life Coach Ade? I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm going to fight. No, okay, I'm not going to fight you. I'm just going to dance with you. They're like, good, you're learning. So I kind of danced with my emotions. And still doing, you know, we're still kind of like sitting in on close to the dance floor. But all is well.
all is well. Get your back up off the floor. All right, look, I'm done. I'm just so happy to be with you. I know. Cool. I don't know where these song references are coming from, but I understand about the intensity of the emotions. I moved through a very similar thing as well. And, you know, we're here, we're standing, and we have two beautiful family members of Life Conversation Radio Network joining us, John and Kathy Stringer. I'm so excited to have our brother and sister back.
Yes, indeed. They are here and walk people through the journey of love. And how to reminding people that the revival of a love story is you. Now, on a slightly different note, we were talking about this, but I want to share this with you. You may not have seen it. Our wonderful Yvette, who I just love so dearly, is putting me in check. She said, preparation is key to dealing with the retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
A little
ouch.
Bit.
Well, actually,
bit.
Today anyway. Today. Ouch. Today.
But we needed
during the week,
it.
I was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to break the habit of thinking I can do. But anyway, so anything else you want to share with the audience, the listeners? Because, you know, you're going to do announcements and then you got a lot to do and you're trying to save your voice, drinking your lemon tea and sucking in some lozenges. Or how does, what's her name, Lauren Hill calls it? She calls it something, but anyway, in the unplugged. So you want to rest your voice and we'll just bring you back later?
A wee bit, but I would say preparation and gentleness are key ingredients for Mercury retrograde as well. I would add gentleness.
Well, gentleness comes after you didn't prepare enough. That's how I see it. But anyway. All right.
All right, you. I'll see you in a minute.
Thank you. All right. Oh, boy, life is good. It's getting better. We've got to learn to be easy with ourselves. We've got to learn to laugh at ourselves. We're talking about awakening the divine partnership, the partnership with the one, the partnership with yourself, your inner self. And when things are challenging, when you're struggling, it's important to allow space for you to be gentle. As Celeste was just reminding us, be gentle, be loving. Because if you don't embrace yourself when you are tripping, it's hard for you to receive others when they're embracing you while you're tripping. Because you say, well, they're only saying something nice because they're my husband, my wife, they're my mom, my dad. You know, I don't really believe them. This spiritual journey is for gladiators. Life is not for wimps, and the spiritual journey is for gladiators. So if you're on a spiritual journey, pat yourself on the back. But you got to stay awake. You got to stay awake. And we're supporting you on that journey, inspiring you to do love differently, to know love differently, to embrace love differently, and know that it is okay to have a breakdown. It's okay to not know. And Kathy and John are going to share their love story. They've been here, as we said, several times. But we want to inspire people during this week, this month, that love is real and you must be willing to do the work. True love, real love, is not a chess game. You got to show up. You got to bring all your funk to the table, even if it doesn't feel right. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Call in with your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears. Maybe you're trying to get a date before Friday and you need some advice. Call in. Maybe you have a date. Maybe you have a man, you have a woman, but right now you got your eyes on somebody else. Call in. We'll align you. Whatever you want, anything you're desiring to support you on your journey of life, we're here to hold your hands. We're inviting you to lean on us. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to introduce the lovebirds, the soulmate, the twin flames, John and Kathy Stringer. And, we do some good stuff for you. I'm excited. I get excited when I get to share my friends. Now, yeah, just leave it as that, okay? It's a good time to take a break. Because Yvette said preparation is the best thing to do. But it's the key for Metrori, that's Mercury retrograding all at once. Metrograde. I can't even say it. I think it's time for you to take a break, man, and come back later when you get yourself together. Because right now, Mercury is messing with you. Okay, I'll be right back. I got to learn how to be the change I want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find a metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Do you have questions or show topics you would like Life Coach Today to consider for upcoming shows? You could email him that too at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. The theme for the month of February is Activate the Love Matrix. And we also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network for you. Be sure to join Mbasa Safera for the Play Experience every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on inspirebroadcasting.com. And don't miss the musical odyssey of Sounds of Soul with the Danny Feloce on 12radio.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Yes, thank you, Celeste. Sorry I stepped over you there because I was cueing you, but you won't say anything. But I'm not blaming you. It is what it is. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and I want to welcome all of you that are listening on the phone lines, listening in the archive, online. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. New listeners, we appreciate you. And, of course, our Within Radio listeners, thank you for tuning in to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Together we make a difference. We need each other. And I invite you to join the campaign, the campaign to activate the love matrix. It's time to redefine what matrix means to us because we have the power within us to create the reality we want to see. And it's very, very important to have loving community, to have a loving community, people who support you and guide you on the journey. So it's about that time to bring on my dear friends, Kathy and John Stringer. But before we do that, we want to tell you a little something, about them. 347-426-3346 is the number. 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Celeste, welcome back.
It's great to be back. I'm so excited to introduce our family or reintroduce them to the beautiful, dynamic couple, John and Kathy Stringer, who know exactly how to activate the love matrix. They have many roles in their lives, but they are coming to share with us about being partners, twin flames, soulmates in life that have come together to help each other and to inspire others. Their desire for a life of balance and strong ties to family have helped them find a mutually rewarding life together that they continue to expand. They are also contributing authors in the best-selling Adventures in Manifesting series, and you can read and be inspired by their chapter in Love and Oneness entitled 1111 Love Story. For more information about these beautiful people, you can go to johnstringerinc.com. Family and friends, please welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, John and Kathy Stringer.
Woo! John and Kathy Stringer in the house. Welcome home.
Yes, indeed. Good to be here again.
It is so nice and happy. Yes, we hear you.
I know John is such a presence. I'm just trying to get in.
I know that's right.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get in where I fit in. Oh, thank you for that, Kathy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ooh, I needed that laugh. I needed to loosen up. Okay, let's jump in. I know the listeners are ready. Some of the listeners know your story, but they haven't heard the story that you have to share today because today is a new day. So let's start with this simple question first so we can get that out of the way. And I'll start with Kathy. Kathy okay. Stringer, who yeah. are you? Who is oh, Kathy God. Stringer?
I should have known that was coming. You know, I always and forever will be love. That is mm-hmm. who I am and who I try to be in everything that I do consciously think, you know, is what I'm doing or the decision that I'm making coming from a place of love. So that's who I am. I'm love. Nice to
yes.
meet you.
Love. Love in action, indeed.
Love in action, so, yes.
And John, I know you know, I can't let you have it easy. I got to do something different. Let me see. Let me think of a question. Okay, I'm listening.
I spent all that time preparing.
Yes, you did. So I'm listening to a different question. Hold on. I just say as it comes to me. Okay, John Stringer, who are you?
Well, that's pretty good.
I know. I like it.
Yes, I am. I am. How about that? No, I won't cheat. I am love and light, just like Kathy expressed, an ever-expanding, ever-exploring, ever-evolving and unfolding extension of Source. Mm. I like that answer.
I know, that's right. Ever-evolving.
I'm sticking to it.
Unfolding. Yes. That's your story and you're sticking to it. You know, it's the theme, the month, is all about love. And I wanted you guys to show up for several reasons. One is to share your love story, how you do love, how you be love, and how you express your love. And, of course, there's a conference we're doing together that we'll talk about later. And during this holiday season, you know, Valentine's Day is commercialized and the focus is usually on the balloons and the candy and the cars and how much it was spent. But I wanted to have a conversation, a grounded conversation about love. And I think what I will do is just you both for the benefit of new listeners. Celeste in your bio was talking about the 11-11 story. Can you share with our listeners your love story, how it all came about, and I will let you decide who's going to answer that question.
Ladies first.
Okay. Oh, that's what they said in the chat room. Oh, he's so sweet.
He's just letting me take it on because he's going to sit back. you'd want this in a nutshell too, so let me try to be as brief as possible. So our love story is one of really getting clear after both of us had been through, I'd recently been divorced and John was in a relationship that wasn't really working for him. And, you know, the bottom line is we both got very clear through a place of, you know, just not knowing what we wanted and we needed to figure it out. And so we both got clear on what we were looking for. And for me, honesty, the number one thing after my divorce and other relationships was that I needed a man that was honest. And, you know, there were other things too, but that was my number one. So, you know, and he put together a list and I put together a list not knowing that we were both doing this. And, you know, we really manifested each other in our lives. And you know, even though there was, when we came together, there was fear for me, especially coming, you know, off of a 11-year relationship and divorce, having a beautiful daughter, there was a lot of fear around, okay, am I ready to connect with another person? But when the characteristics that were in my list started to show up so clearly in John, I mean, just like screaming out honesty, I'd never met anybody as honest as John, almost scary. I'm like, I don't even know if I need to know everything now. But for me, that was really the crux of our love story was, you know, without, you know, unless you want me to give all the details of the dance, we had this amazing night where, you know, we had become friends and kind of gotten to know each other on this whole other level. And then one night where we just spoke together for about almost 3 to 4 hours in the middle of a club, just connecting on an intellectual, emotional level. You know, and then we danced, and it was like fireworks and everything you ever hear about. And it was just an amazing, amazing night that, you know, almost 11 years later, neither of us will ever forget it. But really, our love story is based on really getting clear on what you want and being able and being in a place where you can recognize it when it's there, you know, because sometimes you can get clear and it's right in front of you, but you're not in a place to see it. We both had to go through certain things to get there, you know, working on ourselves and really falling in love with ourselves, especially me. I mean, it was very important after my divorce for me to reconnect with who I am and who I want to be in this world. And then John Stringer walked into my life. And though he'd been in my life for 7 years before that, all of a sudden it was a total different ballgame. So I don't know. Hopefully that.
That was good. That was good. One thing I'll add
Right. Go ahead. I was going to ask you. No, I was just going to ask you if you were going to add anything. Go ahead.
Sure. Like Kathy mentioned, the clarity part is a trigger for both of us. Literally, she'd gotten clear before me, and literally 3 days prior to our magic night, I wrote my list and got really clear, used some practices I'd learned before in the military to do it, in fact. And the one big thing that came screaming out was, I wish it could be like I believed when I was a child, that love, love that stops time and moves your soul and just smacks you upside the head like, hello. And so... That's literally what happened 3 days later, the night we danced. So, was it 7-Eleven, sweetheart?
It was 7-Eleven at Club 1150.
Yep. So that's the
love
yeah.
that number 11.
That's the short version.
That is the short version. The full version's in the book.
Yeah, no, that's right. Oh, I like that, Kathy. I like that new side. Wow. But you know what? I want to do something here. I want to go back to the days before fireworks, and I think I want to do that because sometimes it's when we listen, you know, to teachers or just about personal development, spiritual growth, motivation, inspiration. The focus is usually on you do your work and you attract the right person. But sometimes we don't focus a lot on the challenging aspect. And I know you guys spoke to it. But I really want to hear a little bit about your story, what caused you to get to a place where you had to clean out house. You had to clean, in a sense, really clean out your consciousness in order to create space for what you two have now. And I'll start with John. You know, share the life before Kathy Stringer and, you know, how you got to a place to say, you know what, I want the kind of love that will smack me in the face, and when I see it, it would just be like, it's nothing but love, because something happened before that. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. I don't know if I was really living before Kathy Stringer, so no. Anyway, no, seriously. What's beautiful is prior to our relationship, I think I went through all kinds of relationships, from volatile and angry to substance abuse relationships, experienced a wide range of stuff that really helped me get clear on what I preferred. But before, prior to that, I had a very surfacey idea of what I wanted out of a relationship. And it, you know, my list was probably about 3 things. And probably typical for most young men growing up, what they want, you know. So,
what were the list? What was on the list?
It was a certain, you know, a certain physical type, shorter than me, petite, light skin like my mom, and you know, just that was pretty much, in, you know, that I was attracted to. That was pretty much the extent of it. Like, that was it. So, wasn't very deep. And after going through a lot of relationships, I realized it's almost like, I used to say this on stage, if you're a baby, when you first come out the womb, until you've experienced different foods, you don't really develop your palate. And so I think relationships are similar. We experience different relationships and start to develop a palate, like our desires, and that contrast yields new desires. And we're like, okay, I prefer this. I've had liver. I don't want that ever again. I've had lying. I've had cheated on. I've had alcoholic. I've had XYZ. I think I prefer honesty. I think I prefer integrity, you know, whatever it is. So that's kind of how my list evolved. And I was doing open dating. No, everybody's familiar with that, but was in open relationships, very honest about, hey, I don't want a commitment, and this is what I'm up for. And I was in that phase when the 3 days before Kathy and I connected, and I really realized I was kind of sick of that. Like, that would just seem to lead to dead ends. Like, I was willing to commit if I could find the right thing, but it was kind of like I didn't want to just commit unless I was sure, you know? And so I think all those relationships just led to heartache, like the whole open relationships, for me anyway. My experience was, even if the girl I'm dating says, yes, I can, I'm down with that, and that's cool, and I'll do the same, somebody gets hurt. Like, you know, it's hard to be in that kind of relationship, not experience emotions. And then to cut it off or stop yourself from progressing, I don't know. For me, it just wasn't the natural course of things, so it would be hard to do, and then I'd have to abruptly end something, and somebody gets hurt. So I was sick of that, got frustrated, wrote out my list, and was just tired of that lifestyle and wanted it to be crystal clear, wanted, you know, to find what I believed in. Like, I believed in a soulmate. I believed that somebody was out there. I wrote a song about it. When I meet her, her soul would speak to me. It won't be the way she looks. It won't be her personality. None of that stuff. And that's exactly what happened. I wrote that song like years and years prior, after having a dream and seeing the woman. Obviously, it was Kathy, but I couldn't place the face after the dream. And you know, 11 years after we met, now it's pretty clear. But, yeah, that's it. That would describe the before. I'm grateful. I hope I didn't sound like I was ungrateful. I'm very grateful for all those experiences, all those relationships, and beautiful people that I've dated women that I send love and light to now, and I don't regret or have any hostility towards. I'm grateful for them because they taught me what I really wanted, and that's what I ended up finding in Kathy.
And one of the things that you said is the idea of developing your palate. You know, you got to find out through the relationships of the past what you really wanted. It was an opportunity to fine-tune your focus and get real clear that it's okay to have a list, but really, okay, let's go with that. Let's get down to the heart of it. And if we all could take the opportunity to use past experience to make us better, then we will have different experiences. We'll have experiences that light us up rather than be bitter and judge the ones who abused or whatever the case may be. And that's what I hear in your story. Really, it's like the past relationships prepared you for Kathy. Actually,
that's
helped
exactly
you find
right.
Kathy. That's right.
You know, one thing that I'd add, those new desires, like in everything we go through in life, the desires that come up through the experiences and the contrast and the different things, those lead us, if we get clear on them and see them and not necessarily attached to them per se, they can lead us to our solutions. Because when I, even though I was clear on that list, there was no way for me to know half the things that Kathy would bring to our relationship. I would have never been able to recognize that, but what captured me immediately was that soul-moving experience, like Kathy mentioned. When we danced on the dance floor, it was supernatural. There was no, it was on a spiritual level that we connected, and it was, everything else disappeared. So it was kind of, it got my attention real clear, but I was confused. So like, what's happening here? Like, we were just friends. There wasn't any romance before that. And so, long story short, it got my attention real good. And from then on, fast forward to the present, it became clear she was the solution to my desire. So often our desires will be used as the carrot to draw us to our solutions. That's kind of how life works.
Yes. And while we're in it at that time, we don't always see the solution. We just think life is doom and gloom. Let me go to Kathy. Kathy, let's talk about life before the dance.
All right.
Life before sparks and fireworks. What was that
right.
like, and what helped you find your solution and focus what you really wanted?
Well, I was dancing with someone else before. I mean,
I like that.
Yeah, just make that real clear. There was another dance going on. You know, I had I have an ex-husband, and you know, we had you know a long relationship. You know, and I as John, I'm so grateful for it. It taught me so much, and you know, I have a beautiful daughter, and I wouldn't change anything of how it's happened, but. You know, I realized as that relationship came to an end, which it came to an end in a pretty rough way for me. I mean, you know, there was an affair involved and a lot of mistrust and lying and things that, you know, I was silly. I would say were my biggest fears that would happen. You know, I had little red flags maybe come up throughout that I ignored, and I just, you know, continued to believe that this was where I was supposed to be. And as things became more and more clear that this wasn't where I was supposed to be, it really it put me in a place of, you know, initially complete darkness, just lost, as most people say when they get divorced. I mean, I really thought that this, you know, marriage was going to last forever and all of those kind of things. So in a place of pure darkness, I remember having a thought and a motivation to find a way to come out on the other side of divorce better than I was, happier than I was, more connected to God and who I am. And, you know, it brought hope to me and put me on a mission. You know, I'm definitely someone who's very mission-oriented. If I've got a task at hand, I put all my focus in. So I gave myself this task to find a way to be happier, not just okay on the other side of divorce, but to be a happier and more joyful person. So that's kind of where I decided, you know, I was actually on a spiritual retreat when I wrote my list. And, you know, first I wrote the list of everything that I would have said were my top things I was looking for my first marriage, things that I thought were so important. And the first thing for me, through a childhood, and John knows this very well, was humor. I mean, I definitely love to laugh, and that's just what I was always looking for in a significant other or a boyfriend was, you know, just funny and make me laugh, and we can get through anything as long as we're laughing about it, kind of feeling. And you know, as I started to look at that, and you know, I just realized that really the most important thing to me is honesty. And I know I mentioned that earlier, is really finding someone who can be honest with me about everything. Because if you don't have the truth, then you can't make a decision based on the truth. You know, it's like you're making a decision based on a lie, which was a lot of what my marriage was. So in shifting that and deciding, okay, the most important thing to me is honesty. And, you know, John and I's relationship is much more serious. It has a funny side. John can be super silly, and we laugh, and we have great times. But it's just a much more serious relationship in that we both focus on the relationship. How can we improve the relationship? What can we do to be closer, to be better parents? Like, it's not all fun and games, but it is completely, like, I feel so fulfilled in this relationship. There was, like, a piece of me that was missing that I just didn't recognize before. I just, you know, drink and party and laugh, and all of that would get me through to 80. But, of course, you know, you get older and you realize that is not the most important thing anymore. So, for me, it was the critical point of just realizing I had to shift what is important to me. And, you know, like I said, for me, I wrote the list about a year before the dance. And in that year, from when my marriage ended to when John and I were together, it was really about a year, I really was able to just work on myself, you know, and I know everybody else says that, I'm working on myself, but really connecting to what makes me happy beyond my connections to my family, my friends, you know, what are the things that bring me joy and passion, and really went on a path for that. Wasn't looking, as much as I wrote that list, I wasn't looking for a relationship. I was like, you know what, I'm going to be relationship free for a while and just really focus on me, and that's where I was. I was in a happy, connected place to myself and God when John and I connected. So that's why I was just like kind of shocked and happy and scared and all of that. But, you know, I didn't go out looking for him. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go find my new soulmate. You know, it really was me, you know, making myself my soulmate for a good year. And then I
was
out like,
dating. She was out dating, doing her thing and everything.
Turns out that, you know, a lot of guys who I was friends with when I was with my ex, I guess, wanted to date me. I never get that. I wasn't even gone. My phone, I was very shocked. My phone started ringing. I was like, oh, heard you broke up. So anyway, but that was the other thing that I do want to point out, though. This is very important to me, that in that dating process, it was kind of like old school dating. Come pick me up, take me to dinner, bring me home, kiss on the cheek, and see you later. Like, it was that kind of dating, not the John Stringer kind of dating.
No comment.
Joe Stringer said, I pay for the dinner, I pay for the gas, I'm getting my money worth. Oh, this ain't a date.
That's right. So the guys I dated might not be too excited, but we, you know, it was really just a, you know, I wasn't going to compromise myself in any way. I was really about, you know what, I am really here to enjoy myself. And, you know, if we have a good time, we can go out again. If we don't, I'm not going to, you know, do anything that I don't feel right about. And I really stuck with that and still do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really kind of, I'm very happy that John is open and can hear me and we can communicate. Because, you know, if there's something going on that I'm not feeling is the best and highest for us, you know, we're going to discuss it. And So really, that was just my critical time, is to shape myself so that I was ready for it.
Yeah. And what's great, you know, about...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's great about, for both of us, we talked about this either yesterday morning or the morning before, how each of our backgrounds perfected us for each other for that moment in time, and it has continued to. But, like, I'm grateful to... Jeffrey, her ex-husband, for everything they went through, because as I was telling Kathy, it's like those are the things that helped her, what I appreciate most. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Like, there's so many things Kathy does in our relationship that weren't even on my list, that I'm so grateful for, and just enrich our relationship just amazingly. And a lot of it she does because of her past experiences. But then who she is as a person, too, even from outside. It wasn't just her relationship that created those things. Some of the things, it's also her upbringing and, you know, her even how she was raised as a child. Some of those things, that contrast was polar opposite of how I was raised as a child. So when it came to parenting and figuring out, you know, those things, it forced us to examine both of our backgrounds and ultimately to seek guidance on what's best and highest, because we realized we didn't really know. You know, we thought, and we had these conditioned beliefs based on how we were raised, and, you know, it made us reexamine. So all of our relationship, I think, has done that. I think relationships in period do that. They bring you, give you the opportunity to co-create, to experience things you desire, but also help reflect your beliefs, or help you become more aware of your beliefs that may be limiting your experience of life. And so we've been very blessed to work together well in uncovering those limiting beliefs and, you know, supporting.
You know, one of the things that I love about what you're saying, because as I hear it and I've seen it, I've known you guys, what, 5 years, 6 years now? It seems like,
yeah.
I mean, just seems like forever. Is in a relationship, everybody brings their story with them. They bring their history with them. And if you really want it to work, it's bringing the histories together and look at what we can learn from our coming together. You talk about, you know, parenting. And together, you guys decided how you are going to do, how you're going to be, how you're going to parent your children. Rather than, well, this is what I grew up with, and this is what I grew up with, well, we just have to figure, you know, but really creating a space, not just a spiritual place, but just a loving space to say, well, how do we go about this? And I'm making sure that I ask clear questions because I know you guys. So sometimes I may just be thinking, oh, yeah, people know about that. So I want to ask you this before we take – actually, let's see. Do we have time to take – yeah, I guess we can squeeze. I want to really talk about this. And well, on the other side, I want us to talk about the dance because we've been talking about it. And a part of me want the listeners to come to the conference before they hear about the dance, but I don't want to do that to them because we keep talking about the dance. What is the dance they keep talking about? But what after Celestial Moment? But here's the thing I really want to highlight right now. John, you talked about honesty. Kathy, you talked about honesty. I want to ask you, Kathy, when you say honesty, what do you mean by that? And most people can say, of course, everybody knows what honesty means. But really, sometimes people say, I just want somebody who's honest. But in truth, they don't really want to know. But it's like honesty, you're either honest completely or not. And so can you explain what you mean to our listeners? Because I know that anyway, explain to our listeners. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, you know, that is really a great question because, you know, sometimes I am scared of the truth just like everybody else, you know. I mean, from the simple things like, do I look fat in this, which is, you know, something I've really tried to steer away from because he will answer me honestly. Sometimes I don't want to know, trust me. Does this outfit
look
okay?
Slow down. No, slow down, Kathy. So,
okay.
So there are questions you kind of stay away from because you've asked the question before and it's given you an honest answer that you didn't want to hear. Is that what you're saying?
That is true. I will literally have, you know, and John's very aware of this, I have to think, and this is before going out, and, you know, we'll talk about date night at some point. We'll have our date night, and, you know, I'll get dressed up, and if he's around and we're going out together, I have to think in my mind, okay, do I want to change my outfit if I ask him? Because, you know, he's going to tell me, not in a mean way, you know, he'll be very honest, gently, but, you know, I know that he's not just going to say, sure, babe, you look great, unless he really thinks that. I mean, it's just, there's something in his nature that he just, it's just very cut and dry for him. It's not like a big decision. I ask him a question, I know I'm going to get an honest answer. So even on that, I consider that very superficial level, but it is something that affects people. I mean, you know, if I'm thinking, I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm thinking I'm looking great, and I'm ready to go out, and I'm like, babe, you know, do you love this dress? How do you feel about it? And he's like, it's not the most flattering dress. I'm like, okay, you know, I have to be ready for that. So I have learned from our relationship, I better be ready for the truth if I'm going to ask the question. And that's mm-hmm. something I have to ask myself, you know, on that level. But, you know,
how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it when he says, not the most flattering dress? How do you what happens in you and how do you move through that, even though how do you move through that?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm very blessed with a husband that lets me know very often that he thinks I'm beautiful. So I know that he thinks I'm beautiful, so I really have to go to the place of this, you know, I can see someone in one outfit and another outfit, and they look completely different. They still got the same body underneath it. But, you know, there is certainly clothes that look better on me than others. So I really have to go to that place of, you know, I really want to look good, and I really want to look good for him. So if I want to know, I'm going to ask him, and if he says, and he knows I've changed outfits many times before we've gone out. So not every time, but every once in a while. And, you know, so that's how I deal with it. I really I try to get clear beforehand. Is this what I want to wear? If this is what I want to wear, then I'm just going to wear it. But if I really want to make sure that this is something that, you know, we both like, then I'll ask the question. So I have to do some thinking beforehand and really hold true to the fact that I know because, you know, he's very awesome at communicating with me that my husband thinks I'm beautiful. So I'm not taking it as a put down. I'm not thinking he's saying, you know, you're fat, you're ugly. I'm not thinking of any of that. I'm really thinking, okay, this outfit probably doesn't look as good on me as this one, so let me just change, that kind of thing. That's how I deal
with it. And a lot of that is built on previous conversations we had. Like, it didn't automatically start off with, that's something, and I'm honest, and then we got an understanding. We had to talk about it. Like, you know, she might bring up, like, if she, I think the first couple of times maybe you might have reacted, like, disappointed, and we talked about it.
Yeah, that's true.
and so we came to an understanding of how to communicate, where I can, you know, I can be honest with her, but at the same time, do it in a very sensitive way. And really, it's only been in the years we've been together, it's only been a few times where that has come up. So that's the beautiful thing. You know, could probably count them on one hand, or because most of the time she looks good and everything. So
yeah. I remember those times pretty well, though, as you can tell.
Yeah. So that's, yes, that's the good news.
It's what I hear from you, Kathy, is you already know who you're with. You know your husband. You know he's an honest person. You know he's going to tell you the truth. Even
right
in that moment, you may feel funny, or your emotions might be, ouch. And sometimes we have no control over that. But you bring
right
yourself back to the bigger picture. It's like, wait, what's the truth here? This man loves me, and he's not saying
right
it to be mean. He's
right
just telling me the truth. So you actually coach yourself back to the center. Right.
Yes.
Before we take a break, I want to ask John this question. What is it like? Is this ability, I call it that, the ability to tell the truth, to be honest, is it something you developed? Is it easy for you? Or have you always been like that, and you're surprised that most people are tripping about your honesty?
That's a good one, too.
That is a good question.
I talked about that recently, yeah. So we were talking about how I think when I was really young, growing up, I think one of the first girls I dated in my neighborhood, I called up, and I think a buddy was with me or something, but I remember she wasn't there, and her sister was on. And so somehow I was encouraged to, you know, run game, and it was just a natural thing to do, to start talking to the sister, try to mac, throw the mac down on her sister, as we used to call it, right? And this was when I was probably like in seventh, eighth grade, or maybe even younger, I can't remember. But this was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And I remember her sister got on the phone, the girl that I'd been talking to first, got on the phone. Turns out she was there, was listening in on the conversation, got on, just called me a dog. And I remember just feeling like crap, like, oh, my God, you know. So that was my first little experience of trying to run game. My second experience was really a mistake. Like, I dated a girl in Chattanooga before going off to college, and right out of high school, we dated during the summer, and I broke it off. And just remember, for whatever reason, she was really, really hurt. And so out of guilt and not wanting her to be hurt, I said, okay, we'll get back together. Over the phone, I just told her that, and then went off to college, left the city, and proceeded to never really get back in touch with her. And so technically I, you know, led her to believe we were together, but I was doing my thing. And so she came to Atlanta where I was in college and, you know, just gave me a tearful explanation of how disappointed she was she didn't hear from me. And I told her the truth. I said, look, you know, I know I said that, but I obviously wasn't doing it. And even the girls I dated knew I had some of them anyway, knew I had technically a girlfriend in my hometown. But at that point, I just realized, I mean, she was distraught. She had gotten some guy to drive her all the way up to Atlanta. And I just felt like trash, you know. Mm. So I finally got to a point where I was like, you know, from here on, it's going to be open relationships. I'm not going to run game. I'm going to be honest. If I don't want to date, I don't want to date. I want to have a committed relationship. If I do, then I will. And that's really what got me to that point. But not just that, not just in relationships. I think the other side of it was I led a devious, double-sided life growing up. My mom tried to really instill honesty in me, but I think just growing up, I've done the, you know, led the double life, like being a so-called Christian but really having my secrets in my closet and all that stuff that I was like a slave to and doing my deeds that I felt all my shame for. So I lived that life, and by the end of the first year of college, I literally had the second year, I literally came to a point where I had a breakdown. I mean, a literal mental breakdown where I had to be hospitalized, and it was from all the stress, all of the duality, all of the contradictions and all that stuff. And I came on the other side of that really dedicated to trying to find a better way, trying to find freedom in truth. And you know,
a path that would work, but I knew I wasn't going back to my old path. But I was still committed to that, at least the honesty of, hey, here's where I really am. Like, I'd even call myself, you know what, I think I'm an agnostic because I believe in God, but I really don't know. you know, that's where I was when Kathy and I talked. It's like, I don't know what the truth is. I really don't even want to seek God right now because I don't know a better way than what I came from. So that's it in a nutshell. That's how I got there.
Yes. So you had some real breaking open experiences that broke you open to your own heart, to your own pain, to help you see that the way you've been doing doing things is not the best. And I know about you, definitely anything you do, you give it everything. So I can definitely see that. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with John and Kathy to find out more about them. Their website address is johnstringerinc.com. johnstringerinc.com. INC.com. And you can find out more about their work. John Stringer and Mercury is working me. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're good. You can find out about their book. They are co-authors of the book Adventures in Manifesting, One Love and Oneness. And they have a chapter there. They talk about the dance. We'll tell you a little bit about the dance because you must hear the dance. The dance is magical. And I wasn't there, but just listening to them. I've heard it many times. It's like, wow, those kind of things just happen. If you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. You can also ask your questions and do it quick because they got to leave soon. In the like page, fan page, the Life Conversations Radio fan page, like page, or the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page. Post your questions there and we'll get to it. So what we're getting to now, let's go to Celeste, running behind time, but we're going to work it out. Hello, Celeste, how are you? Let's try this. Hello, Celeste, how are you? I don't hear you. Celeste, are you there? Okay, unmute yourself, Celeste, because I don't know if it's my browsers. I'm using two browsers and I'm having issues here. All right. Celeste, I can't hear anything. Okay, you might want to unmute yourself, Celeste. Is Celeste there? Okay. All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back.
Hello, here I am. It took a minute to do its thing, and I'm so grateful that my celestial moment is in alignment with it.
Okay, good.
Woo!
I was like, okay.
Wow. All right. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. I'm having a great time listening to the dynamic Kathy Stringer and John Stringer. I don't know why we always have to say the man's name first. No offense to you, John. You know I adore you, honey. But I know that everybody is enjoying this, and I want to let you know that we have other shows coming up this week that will also support you to activate the love matrix. So it's my pleasure, family, to let you know about the upcoming shows. We are kicking off Valentine's Week. Regardless of if you celebrate it or not, there is always time for a sacred love story. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to feed you some soul food for your consciousness. And remember when you were in school and we would hand out Valentine's Day cards and candy? Well, Wednesday, we are working on some key folks sharing their story and dedications on the air. If there's somebody you would like to share your love with, then the platform is yours. Or if there's a poem you'd like to share, call in and join the party. Make sure you don't miss these powerful shows because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Okay, everything is not working. I can't take this. I can't take it when things don't do what they're supposed to do. John! Or like John and Catherine would say, what's that about? Celeste, can you just do the jingles, please?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Let's go into celestial moments.
John, do a prayer. Yeah?
No, let's let's go into celestial moment because things are not doing what they're supposed to do. Let's go into celestial moment, and then we'll continue the conversation. We'll do break later.
Got it. Okay. Good afternoon, family. I know. There's a gift in it for you. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. The branches have been cut. There are new balloons. Now it's time to see what the number one has for you. One is the energy of the day, fresh beginnings and new starts. The sun is always shining. It's the ruler of number one. And the number one also shows up as the eagle in medicine cards. It keeps you focused on great spirit. Now today, for a special treat, we're going to put the spotlight on the magician. Its number is also one in tarot. The magician is considered to be the leading man. As a wizard, he is the embodiment of transformational prowess. The magician card is astrologically associated with Mercury, the messenger and the communication planet. The magician is an ally to Mercury and can be used to glean what we can during this current Mercury retrograde in Pisces. Now more than ever, the time is right to look at things with clear eyes. Delicious, fresh perspectives are revealed. So with this magician energy running today, we have a chance to prepare. All the tools we need are before us. When we stay aware, the magician reminds that we can create out of thin air and manifest our deepest desires regardless of what the planets are doing. So pay attention to your dreams. Trust yourself. Slow down. Stay mindful. And don't be afraid to make your own magic. All is well. And that's the story of one. Told through the magician card in tarot. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, I'm listening to your celestial moment. It's for me. I'm trying to create my own magic here. Yes, thank you, Celeste. Celeste is here every day, well, Monday to Wednesday, around 1 for the celestial moment. Now, Celeste, can you do the commercials? And if not, we'll just continue the conversation. I release and let go. I refuse to be ruffled. I have this beautiful feathers.
You're going to have to continue because the studio, I've got to go make some magic.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll continue then. All right. Well, welcome to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. It's live and everything is happening right here, right now. And I have a personality. He loves perfection. Oh, my God. He loses his mind when things are not going as planned. And he's trying to come in here, and I'm keeping him out. Stay out. Stay out, stay out. He's pushing the door real hard. I'm busting some sweats here. But anyway, I'm going to be all right. I need some limitless love. Let me bring on Kathy and John, and hopefully that's going to work. And if not, maybe Celeste or Yvette can try and unmute Kathy and John because things are just not doing what they're supposed to do. We got new people listening. Trust me. It's really a great show. We're just having some technical difficulties, and we just got to dance with it. So, all right, Yvette or Celeste, please unmute John and Kathy for me, please. I'm being held. Oh, okay, I think I hear some. John, are you there? Kathy, are you there? I don't understand why we can't unmute them. Let me see. Celeste, can you unmute yourself? Can you tell me what's going on? Let's see.
Ade, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you able to unmute John and Kathy?
I can't do anything in a studio, boss. I can't get in.
Okay, Yvette, right. What about you? Are you able to unmute John and Kathy? Let's try that. And let's see. I'm using two different browsers, and we've got these issues because we want to talk about the dance. Well.
Yvette said no, by the way.
No.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe the angels were called.
Oh, hey, wait, John is in. John is in.
Oh, you can hear us?
Yes, we can. Okay. Now,
hello?
This is what I'm going to do. Hey, yes, we did it.
Welcome back.
All right. This is how you do it.
Hey, it's 111, y'all. It's 111.
Oh, 111.
That's exactly.
We came right back on there. 111.
Well, John,
right, let's get back
I know you and Kathy kiss each other at 111, 1111. So you and Kathy kiss each other, but I ain't kissing y'all. Okay, I give y'all a hug.
That's right.
Okay, so anyway, we're back on track. Let's talk about. Let's bring ourselves back to the center. Now, I want to talk about the dance real quick. I'm going to let John talk about the dance, and then I want to talk about date night, and then we'll talk about the conference that we're going to be doing together in March. So, John, tell us about this dance.
Okay. So I'll cliff notes because the book has the full version of it, but long story short, when we end up dancing, it seemed like time stopped and all we could see was each other. I remember from my perspective just feeling like I entered some blissful, just powerful magnetism and just felt so comfortable. And, I mean, like we just slow danced through everything the club was playing. And this was back when Bone Crusher was popping at the clubs and, you know, to the window, to the wall. It didn't matter what it was. We were just slow dancing the whole time. And we did that till the club closed down. And literally the lights came on, and they're sweeping when we came back to our senses and realized, oh, wow. So that time just stood still. And we ended up walking out. I just remember feeling confused, like what just happened. That was surreal. And, you know, I was so disoriented because she and I had talked earlier, but like I said, we were more friends and very and fond of each other from friendship, a place of friendship. But I never thought, like one of her friends came up to me and actually said, pointed her out on the dance floor and actually said, you should go dance with Kathy. And that was like the first time I ever thought about approaching her like that. And I was like, you know what? Okay. I was convinced and walked. And I swear, it was like the Red Sea's parting. Like she said, whoever she was dancing with just disappeared. I didn't even have to ask him. He just kind of stepped back. It was weird. You know, I was like, and I just stepped on up, and we danced, and the magic set off. So I wrote a song about that. But it was really exactly what I hoped for and came to the conclusion of 3 days prior. Like, that's what I wish, how I wish it could be. And that's what happened.
Kathy, you want to add anything to that before we talk about tips for folks who wants to have the dance?
Well, you know, it really was, as I've told people before, I was very fond of John for a good 7 years before that dance. You know, I just really had a good feeling about him, like good guy, nice guy, nothing kind of like him. I never thought of him in any romantic light. So that night, it was just kind of like it just seemed, you know, I was on my own journey. I walked in the club, and there he was, and we just instantly were just so happy to see each other, and we literally talked forever, just sat down in a booth, all of our friends are partying, they're doing their thing, they keep coming up to the table, what are y'all doing? We're just really connecting on an intellectual level, you know, and so when he and his friends finally said, we got to go, and like they've been begging him to leave, finally he's like, all right, I got to go. And my friend, you know, I'm very grateful. Just I said something under my breath, like I really would like to dance with him, something like that. And
our friend's name is Diana Taylor, by the way.
Taylor. Yes.
We'll always be grateful to her.
She was like, oh, yeah. So she went and got him and even offered him a ride home. She's like, you know, in her mind, he was not going to leave until we danced. So. And it was that kind of moment out there. It seemed like forever I just let everything go, any concerns of who was looking at me, what they were thinking. You know, here I'm newly divorced, but it was just so in the present moment. Everything else disappeared. Yeah. And, I mean, it was, you know, in my ripe age of 35 or 36 years old, I had never felt anything like that, just a true connection. Just on a different level, like you said, you know, he said supernatural. I was like, wow, that's a pretty deep description, but it really was like of another place, and I'm so grateful.
Marion Williamson.
Marion Williamson.
Yeah, Marianne Williamson has a chapter in our book as well, Love and Oneness, and she describes how people think that that type of love and experience is like, you know, the honeymoon and the infatuation, it's not real and this and the other. And she explains, to the contrary, it is what love really is. It's love without limits.
Yes.
It's love without the conditioned thinking that it's supposed to be different. And that's
mm-hmm.
when we enter into the true present bliss of love. And so, you know, we were blessed to experience that, you know, and we weren't even hit by surprise, I guess you could say. But
mm-hmm.
That was what we needed to wake us both up to see each other in a new light and to start exploring and realizing that, oh, wow, this person is everything I wanted on my list and more.
Yes.
Things I didn't know I desired. Like Kathy, just things from my childhood that I desired, she became, that I wasn't even thinking about on my list, but I can flash back to when I was with my old teacher, the Vanderlings, and I'd go over to their house. They were in my neighborhood. They'd invite me over for dinner, and I remember I was real young, too. This was before seventh grade, and I would see how they would interact. She would cook. She was a teacher. She would cook and do all this stuff. She was really a homemaker and very, very like, you know, that traditional sense of a woman who takes care of the household and takes care of things and all that, and I love that about their relationship. The man was the guy who taught me how to tie a tie. So I didn't grow up with my dad, so he kind of took that, you know, he literally taught me, her husband taught me how to tie a tie. And I just admired what they had, and that's what I got. Like, my wife is she was a business manager when we started dating and managing huge conference. So she had that side that I love, like the intellectual savvy, the business savvy. She understood the music industry, but on the set, and had managed bands, managed, you know, one of the largest conferences in the U.S., basically, music conferences, for 11 mm-hmm. years. But when we decided to have a child, she became a full-time homemaker, mom, and gave up her career to take care of family and wanted to do that. And but all through that, even when she was working, she would take care of us, her daughter, and my daughter, my stepdaughter at the time, and, you know, make sure we had everything we needed to do our things. Well, once we got together, that is. She would take care of meals, dinners, laundry, all that stuff. I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know? Now she's just has that incredible heart, desire, and ability to take care of home. And so she's like the CEO of home affairs. I'm the CEO of paycheck. I go out bringing the bread and, you know, and do my part.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, we work together where our strengths are. Like,
yes.
We've also had to figure out, like, there's some areas where, you know, she would have preferred me to have strengths, and where I don't have those, we figure out a solution. And, you know, likewise, and it goes both ways. If there's somewhere where I desire something, we communicate about it and find solutions. So that's
right.
The other, I think, part where...
Okay. Basically, you two bring enlightenment to the traditional ways. You bring it, take it to a new level, and look at it from a place of limited love, because the whole idea of the man going to work and the woman staying at home often is frowned upon now, but it doesn't have to be that for everybody. But what you two do is, yes, it still looks like the traditional ways, but you bring enlightenment to it. Do you guys see it as that?
What's funny is, yes, but I'll just say there was a period where we were straight. Where I was struggling financially. When we first started dating, she met me, I was balling, I mean, making really good money and didn't have any responsibilities, so do what I wanted. But there was a point where my businesses went downhill. I was struggling. We were both doing really well. She was earning income. She decided to retire. Right after that, my businesses went downhill. And I was bringing this minute income, and she was taking care of home. So we went through a 2-year period that just brought us together even stronger with the finances where, you know, like we weren't paying the bills. I wasn't making enough. So it's not like it's always been, you know, I was making stable income and providing. We were struggling, and we worked through that as well. I think that taught us some valuable lessons. And fortunately, you know, we really, so what kept us together was not leaning to our own understanding, I like to say. I remember that from from the Old Testament. It's like, lean not to your own understanding. All our ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. So as we developed our relationship, we began to see a different view of God, or an expanded version of God, not the God that we grew up conditioned to believe in, but that God that we saw more expansive. We began to seek God's guidance, and seek. We finally got on a spiritual path together and really sought for God to guide us in our ways. And we call it checking in. Like we check in. It's our form of prayer where we can get answers. But, you know, whatever a couple does, whether it's prayer, whether it's church, whether it's meditation, whether it's, you know, the kind of checking we do, muscle testing, whatever, you got to find something that works for you and brings you together. And that's ultimately what brought us together. Like, so if there's a disagreement and difference of opinions, doesn't matter. We check in and seek God and find out, okay, what's best and highest for everybody concerned. And that has been the central, most important part of, I think that because we're committed to it as individuals for our lives, that's helped us come together, follow that, and kept in and made our relationship stronger.
If you're just joining us, I am having a conversation with my dear friends, Kathy and Don Stringer. John and Kathy Stringer. So either way, whatever works for you, I call Kathy first, John first. And they are truly lovers, and they are also the co-author on a book called Adventures in Manifesting, Love and Oneness. You can find out more about the book by going to johnstringerinc.com. And there's so much more. But before, I know John's got to go real quick, and so let me just bring this conversation, release this conversation. But before I do that, John, let me start with you. What are two things that you would share with people who are in a relationship, maybe struggling, or they have a vision for a relationship that maybe what you're talking about, it mirrors what they want in their lives? What two tips would you share with them in keeping the honey in the moon, as you shared the other day, last night, that your mom said, how to keep the honey in the moon? I love that. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. What tips would you share with people to keep the honey in the moon? Because it takes real work.
It does, right? So, so one would be try to understand each other's love languages, because that was a big shift for us. I'm still learning how to speak hers fluently. She can speak mine way better than I can speak hers. But understanding each other's love languages helps you relate and emotionally give to each other in a way that, you know, works and makes the relationship more fulfilling. One of Kathy's is quality time, so I'm much more cognizant of that than her other love language, which I'm still working on, which is acts of service. I'm at beginner's course on acts of service. All the time, I'm probably more fluent in it. But that's key. First tip, I think there's a book called The Five Love Languages. You can check it out. Take the test online. That'll help you understand things. I had some aha moments through that. And then secondly, I think really gratitude is probably, let's see, wait.
Don't steal mine.
What's that, baby?
I said, don't steal mine.
Well, I'm really thinking that, but I'll go for forgiveness instead.
There you go.
Forgiveness, I think, is key. It's a equally important component, because being able to forgive and let go. When I think of forgiveness, I think of letting go of things, because oftentimes we hold things against people that we have no right to hold against them. Or I shouldn't say right. We have a right to do whatever we want to, but there's no truth behind it. Like, just because somebody did something to you doesn't make you a victim and you need to hate them for the rest of your life. You just choose to do that. You could let it go, love them, forgive them, and live a much more fulfilling life. So in your relationship, you may encounter things that you don't like, or somebody made a mistake in the past. Your your partner or whatever, if you got to, if you're going to move forward, you've got to forgive. You got to forgive yourself for your own mistakes, whether inside or outside of the relationship. So that forgiveness work, I went through a lot of that on the onset of our relationship for both past mistakes and mistakes in our relationship that really set me free and allowed me to see her with more loving eyes where I didn't hold things again. That self-forgiveness really is the start to forgiving others. So that frees you up too.
Well, I'm forgiving myself for getting stressed that I know you got to go and we're still talking. I know Kathy's a little bit more flexible. So, John, I know you got to go.
I'm going to hang in here for a minute.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool. Okay, see? I was stressing over nothing. Okay, good. So, Kathy, one of the things, and I might help you out with this, and I actually do want you to add this in your two tips. You've shared this in the conversation, and that's something that I know both of you take seriously. When it comes to tips to keep the honey in the moon, to keep the love alive, one of the things you two do is date night. So I made it easy for you. I give you one. So tell us about the date night and why you guys think it's important in keeping the honey in the moon.
Well, that's really great because I didn't have that on my list, and that is number one in specifically keeping the honey in the moon. You know, after you've been together 11 years, or however long you've been together, even shorter periods of time that you have kids, there are so many reasons that you do not focus on each other. I mean, it just becomes the norm to be exhausted and focused on your work and focused on the kids where, you know, your spouse is just, they can take care of themselves. They're fine. You know, I got to focus on all these other things. So, you know, as we started to see things like that pop up in our relationship, we made the decision to, you know, Wednesday nights, we have date night, and it's really whether, you know, if we have the money to go out, great. If we don't, we try to do something at home. But it's, you know, where I personally spend time getting dressed, putting on makeup, you know, thinking about what we were dating early on, oh my gosh, I would be, you know, I wouldn't walk out the door unless I looked, you know, as great as I possibly could. You know, and now, you know, I'm in my workout clothes most of the time. So it's like on Wednesday night, I really try to take the time to, you know, put together myself as good as possible, really focus on John, go to dinner, you know, hold hands, look at each other, hear about each other's day, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's a concert, whether we just go out on the back deck and I make dinner and we just sit out there by ourselves, you know, really know that what most important is our connection because our kids are aware of it. It affects how we work. It affects everything, you know, if we are connecting. So we both take it very seriously. If something comes up, we'll check in with each other. Hey, I've got this meeting. Is it okay? I know it's on date night. And so every once in a while, we'll miss it. But more often than not, and it really, you know, not to go into graphic detail about people's sex life, but I think that the one thing that is so important in a relationship is your sexual relationship, because that's really the only relationship you're supposed to be having that. So if you're not focused on that in your marriage and you don't give that some importance, then all of a sudden you really just got a roommate. You got a buddy, you got somebody that you, you know, argue with or share things about the kids or whatever. And, you know, I know it's very important in our relationship, and I would imagine most relationships, to give that some importance, because that's another thing that can go right out the window when you're too busy. And you know, and sometimes it's, you know, it is challenging to keep that as a part. But I just want to throw that in there a little bit. Don't want to get too in-depth on that right now. But, you know, that goes along with date night. You know, that's something that's important to why we're together, the dance, all of these amazing connections. You know, if you don't continue to connect on a, you know, on a sexual level with sexual beings, you know, then that kind of goes out the window too. So that's date night. Hopefully that wasn't too graphic for anybody.
We got grown people listen. If it's too graphic, then listen to the wrong radio show. I mean, the truth is the truth is the truth, okay?
All right. Well, thank you, Adair. I feel bad. Another thing that I just want to mention is communication. Something I know I was going to talk about gratitude, but communication, I learned this through my past relationships and with John. When we are in a place of high vibration, I think that is the important time to communicate about things that are working, things that are not working. You know, we try to every once in a while sleep in on the weekends if we can and just have some pillow talk in the morning where we both just are, you know, focused on each other in a high vibration or maybe on date night, those are the times to talk about what's working and what's not working in your relationship, not when it's happening. You know, I just think that communication piece of when you're upset or when you're in a low vibration, I've learned with John, if he's in a low vibration, I need to give him a space. I don't need to ask every 5 seconds, what's wrong? Are you okay? Or did I do something? What did I do? You know, I didn't, and why aren't we connecting in the way we were? You know, it's, I had to learn it. It didn't happen overnight, but I've learned now that, you know, the communication piece is so important in how we communicate and at what time we communicate. So if we've had something happen and he's stressed out or if I'm stressed out, you know, I trust the process and know that the time is going to come where we're going to be in a connected place, a good vibration, and that's the time that we go through, whether it's an argument we had about, you know, how we're going to raise the kids, whether it was something, you know, where I felt he wasn't paying attention, whatever it might be, there is the best time to communicate about it. And you need to. Don't let it just sweep it under the rug. But sometimes in that moment, you just kind of got to let things breathe and give each other time and come back to it when you're ready to really dig in and find a solution. So that's
the piggyback on that. Say that
again, go ahead,
John. I like to piggyback saying that that same communication lesson, I think that's important. We were talking this week about the lessons I had to learn in the even communication, like if I'm struggling at a low vibration, typically I want to shut people out and, you know, go try to just go to the car and try to meditate or do this, do that, and, you know, whatever. And if I can't break through then I, you know, good luck talking to me because I'm pretty much, I'll admit that I'm just struggling right now, but I don't really want to talk beyond that, right? So what I've had to learn is how to communicate. Don't let my struggles, don't take it out on other people or find ways to be open without being distant. That was a big lesson for me. And I think the last couple of times, Kathy and I were talking about that this week as well, I feel like I've learned that lesson and I've been practicing it much, much better. And I think men in general shut down and get distant. And maybe not just men, but, you know, I think that's a common behavior when you're going, when you're struggling through something. So letting her know, hey, you know what, I'm just really having a hard time. I don't know why I'm feeling like this, but I'm trying to work through it. I think eases it so she's not concerned if she did something or at least she knows what's going on.
Thank you. As I was sharing earlier, John, well, actually, let me say this before I forget. John was talking about the love languages. If you want to find out more information, go to 5lovelanguages.com. That's the number 5lovelanguages.com. We have, what's his name? Dr. Gary Chapman. He said 5 love languages are words of affirmation, acts of kindness, no, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. And you can take your own test by going to the website. Okay, cool. I got it out.
Nice.
John and Kathy, Thank you so much for your time. I am looking forward to our conference that's going to happen. We're still putting things together in mid-March. Anything else any of you want to share about the conference, anything you want to share about that that's coming up in March?
Sure.
Before you go.
One thing we definitely want to emphasize is the personal development. The reality of what Kathy was saying is, she had to work on herself, just like I had to work on myself, and we continue to do that. That responsibility is probably the biggest key, because when you come together, you bring, you know, each of you are bringing your own personal responsibility in joining forces. So the stronger you can get at keeping yourself in a high vibration, a high state, and removing your limitations, that enhances the relationship that much more. So we hope to share some ways that we do that through this conference and then ways we work together on those things.
Thank you. Thank you. Kathy, you want to add anything or anything else you want to say before we release you?
Well, thank you so much for having us. But I definitely did want to say that I think, we really want to focus for the workshops in trying to give practical ways, you know, so you just don't hear our story all the time, but you really hear, okay, this is what worked. Very practically. So, you know, if it works for you, you can put it into play, because we really hope to be able, as I I said, and my wedding vows is, you know, inspire each other and inspire other people. So any way we can do that is, you know, feels good for us and hopefully feels good for those people. So hopefully we'll
And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, John and Kathy. I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful to call you my friend. I love the way you show up in the world. I love the way you do relationship. And you truly, from being around you, you live what you've shared today. So it's a blessing, and I thank God for the life that is moving through each and both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, my day.
Oh, you're very welcome, and talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Wow, life is good. It's getting better. To find out more about Kathy and John, their website is johnstringerinc.com, johnstringerinc.com. We're going to do some questions, but we'll see if we can take a quick break, drink some water, and then come back and question for Life Coach at A. And, yeah, we're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Let's see. We might take a break or not. We'll just see what happens. Well, I guess we are.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hudson, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Did you know that color therapy has been used for thousands of years? But many of us don't realize that we've actually been practicing some form of color therapy our entire lives. We choose the colors we wear, the colors we eat, our furnishings, and wall colors. And whether you're selecting a color for your next car or toothbrush, all of your color choices are meant to make you feel better. I'm Elaine Marie, the director of Aura House School of Color and Light, and the founder of Color Therapy Month. This March, please join me in celebrating the healing power of color. For ideas on how you can participate in this worldwide event, visit our website at colortherapymonth.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for riding the wave, the current with us. Woo, so much. It's time to answer some questions about love and relationship and what people are moving through. Nope, that one. Let's try this one. Let's try this one. Hello, Celeste.
Hello, my friend. Giving you a big energetic hug. You're so rock and roll in how you maneuver the energetic flow. But I have one thing for you before we have your questions.
Okay.
You know Halloween is my favorite holiday, right? So isn't that scary for me? It is. That's my favorite. And Valentine's Day being connected to Halloween might not be such a bad idea after all, if you understand it's about connecting with your ancestors. So before you jump into somebody or jump into something and you're not sure what you're doing, you just might want to check in with your ancestors to be like, is this good? I'm just saying, get all the help you can get, all right, before you get those tricks and treats. Okay, that's it. I just had to share that with you.
Yes, I'm going to leave that alone because she inspired some other thoughts, but we don't have time.
We don't have time.
Yes, but it does all bring right. up a lot of different conversation around trick-or-treat. And then sometimes, you know, love is looked at that, but as a sort of like a game of chess, or you can get tricked or you can get treated. But love is so much more than that. But anyway, let's deal with the questions because time is doing what time
absolutely.
Does. It keeps moving.
I hear you.
All right.
First question is from Pauline. Dear Life Coach Today, I like to believe that I'm a self-loving woman, but I feel sad when I watch the women in the office get gifts on Valentine's Day. I would like to know and to be genuinely happy for those who are getting an outpouring of love. Pauline.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I like to believe that I'm a self-loving woman, but I feel sad as I watch Well, there's so many places I can go with that. Okay, so it's real simple. You can be self-loving, but in loving yourself, are you loving others? You know, you talk about some tips you can use. When you find yourself, let me come back. See, this thing called love, it's unique, and you got to massage it, you got to play with it, you got to sit with it, you got to let it speak to you, because it shows up in so many ways. And I feel that we're always going to have experiences where we can be more loving. So when we come against, Pauline, when we come against places where we realize we're not loving enough or we're feeling jealous or feeling sad, you said I feel sad, sadness. You said that they got a gift or sad that you're not getting a gift. So if it's sad, my feeling is you're feeling like, I don't get anything. So there's something you need to work through. So in your self-loving space, continue to love yourself and recognize that you are enough, and make it more practical. Go and get yourself something. Go and buy yourself something. Take somebody else out on a dinner. Invite somebody to come home with you. Go and watch a movie. But the sadness is letting you know there's a part in you, a part of you that wants to be healed. So, yeah, spiritual tips, that's it. It's quite simple because the feelings that you're having, the emotions that are coming up are reminding you. They're letting you know where you're loving and where you're not. You know, so it's when you say, you said, I would like to know what spiritual tips I can use to not feel so unloving and to be genuinely happy for those who are getting an outpouring of love. If you're sad that they're getting something, it's not like you're disappointed that they're getting it. It's more about you. You're sad that you're not getting any because you didn't say anything about that. That's what I'm sensing from the question. So it's not even them. It's you. You're feeling sad. Do your own work. Take yourself out. Invite your girlfriend, your boyfriend, not romantic, but clearly, yeah, you get the picture. Somebody that you love, take them out on a dinner, take them out for dinner, to go to a movie, buy yourself something, send yourself flowers. Who said you shouldn't do that? You know, if they say, oh, who sent that to you? Tell them it's from someone special. You are special. You know, so take this thing out of this commercializing of love. Love is an inside job, as John and Kathy just shared with us. Love is an inside job. And for the most part, when you commit to be loving, when you commit to love yourself, life will help you recognize where you're not being so loving with yourself or others. So rather than beat yourself up because now you've identified areas where you could be more loving,
that's not, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just looking at what needs to be healed. So it's an opportunity to be loving. So, and in being loving with yourself and move from sadness and being glad for your life, existence, then you know you can add that to other people. They're happy. So there you have it, Pauline. Celeste, next question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, man. All right, this is from Martha. Hey, you. Okay. Dear Life Coach Today, I come from a big family, and I'm learning that one of my siblings is speaking negatively about me. I want to approach the sister who is doing this, but I promise not to tell who gave me this information. I'm good about not breaking confidences, but I'm really hurting and want to understand what's going on. What do you think is the best way to deal with this, or should I find a way to get over it? Marcia.
You can do that. You can find a way to get over it, and you can invite the person who told you. Because once, if the person tells you something, they're trying to keep it on a hush-hush, that creates a whole different kind of dynamic. We talked about honesty earlier. Now, invite the person who told you so that everybody can be accountable, you know? So if you start playing, well, somebody told me, but I'm keeping confidentiality with the person who told me, that's a whole lot of mess. Now, you're talking about your sibling behind her back because now you've made an agreement. I think it's a lot easier to ask the person, you know, let's have a three-way. Let's talk. Let's talk about this. If the other person says, oh, no, then they had no business telling you in the first place, you know? So this is the whole thing about keeping confidence. Well, yeah, is that what it is? Really? You said you're hurting. So I'd say invite the other person, tell them you need to get clear for yourself, and then let the other person be accountable. And yeah, there are things that need to be, where hurt just points to, once again, always, you're going to hear it, just something that needs to be healed. But it's also important to take time to get still, because my answers is based on what I'm feeling and sensing. And you get to choose how you're going to use it. So it's very important to get still, get in touch with yourself, your true self, and ask how to go about this. But I will also encourage you to invite the other person who told you so that they can be accountable for the information they passed on. Because if someone's going to come and tell you that your sibling is talking negatively about you and they want to, no, don't tell her I told you, that's a lot of mess. That's a lot of foolishness. I'm just going to leave that alone right there. So, yes, let them be accountable for the information they shared with you. And get over it. Don't get over it. Get into it.
Oh.
Okay. I'm ready for the next one.
Wow. You just zing, zing, zing. You know, you're just knocking these out the box. Okay. Don't get over it. Get into it. I'm going to remember that. It was very powerful. All right. Here's the last one from Nick. Dear Life Coach Today, I'm starting over in a new job, but feel awkward in this new work setting. The more I learn about the company and the people, the less I want to work there. It's a well-paying job, but I'm already wondering if I made a mistake. It's been 3 months. Is that enough time to really decide if I should move on? Nick.
Well, is it? I like questions like that. Is it? You know, you said the more I learn about the company and the people, the less I want to work there. Well, what you're learning and what makes you want to, what makes you question if you want to continue to work there, it's more about you. You said it's paying well, but you need to confront your own truth. You know, if you talk about the company and the people, I mean, come on now. Everybody there is just making you want to move on. You can move on. You get to decide if it's time enough. The question is, what are you running from? What are you moving on from? What are you going to take with you? The truth is, wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. It could be time to move on, but what is it about this company and the people that you're working with gets on your nerves or inspiring you. I wouldn't even call it inspire because that's not an inspiration. That's not an inspiration. I think you need to confront yourself and tell the truth. Confront yourself, tell the truth, get still, do your spiritual work. It sounds redundant, but really, the more we take time to be still and listen, the easier it is for us to know how to move forward, how to deal with challenging situations. And, Nick, if you're saying the company and the people are causing you so much grief, and you're wondering if you made a mistake, well, go deep inside yourself and ask, did I make a mistake? Is there something here that you need to learn? Because if you don't deal with what you need to deal with there, life will always be graceful enough to say, here's another opportunity. Here we go. You can move to another city, another state, another country. Wherever you go, there you are. And only you get to decide if it's enough time. You can move on today. As I said, wherever you go, there you are. Tell the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Ask yourself deeper questions. What is it about this people? What do I need to see? What is the lesson I need to learn? Is what I am seeing a reflection of myself and I don't like it, so the best way I'm dealing with it is projecting on others? Is this about me? And then decide from there. Or move on before you do that. You have a choice. But I empowered ways to really confront what you want to move on from and see if really what you're seeing is the mirror reflecting you back to yourself and you don't like what you see. So there you have it.
Thank you, Life Coach Today. Nicely done, my friend.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you and Yvette for all you're doing behind the scenes and still trying to weave it all together with all the technical difficulties. And right now, I just want to ask, can I have a hug? I feel like I've been flying
a
plane and it's been turbulent, and I'm trying to keep the plane still. It's like, good Lord. This is when people say, I need a drink. I don't drink alcohol, but this would be a good time to say, I need a, like, oh. But, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Life happens. And I would
get
a drink.
We're all hugging you.
Thank you, thank you. All right, let me feel the hug.
No, really. It's a group hug. Yeah. Everybody jump in. Everybody. Especially those guests that we didn't reach out to. What's up, you
back up? I can't breathe. Back up.
Okay. And new Chase. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right, Yvette.
Thank you. Thank you, Yvette. I appreciate you both. Talk to you in a few minutes. All right. Woo! We got through it. Life is good. It's getting better. Love is on your side. Love is for you. It's time to activate the love matrix and learn to love ourselves in a whole new way. Yes, with all the fears, with all the doubt, the self-doubt. You know, maybe life is calling you out to show up, be more. Yeah. Sometimes you can't access the love within yourself. It's important to have somebody else who can walk with you, who you can confess to, who can confess what you're living through. Someone you know what, I need that once, but I'm in this relationship and it's kind of scary. I don't know what to do. And what a beautiful thing when you can create that space with your beloved. As Kathy put so beautifully, if you don't take time to nurture your relationship, you end up living with a roommate and raising the children and everything else just becomes a chore. It can be more. You just got to be willing to do the work. You got to be willing to do the work. I love you. I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll be back tomorrow talking more about love. And on Wednesday, we're inviting you to share your quotes, your poems, your vision for love, your story, your love story. It doesn't matter if you're in a relationship or not, because love is so much more than just a romantic relationship. Love is expensive. You can't limit it. And there are many ways to share and express your love. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love. Be true to yourself. And be loved. This is Swallow Your Fears, State of Man. John Stringer is the lead singer of State of Man. And here's a wonderful request. You're invited to swallow the fears, all the things that are stopping you from experiencing love and experiencing life. John Stringer, Kathy Stringer, thank you so much for being here, joining us. And to find out more about John's band, State of Man, stateofmanmusic.com. stateofmanmusic.com. Follow your fears. See you tomorrow. Peace and blessings.
Say what you want to say, what you know, there's something in the way. There's something in the way. Don't act like nothing's wrong.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.